Our reading is found on page 844 in your pew Bible. Our reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 1 through 20. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your own town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, on that day it will be more tolerable for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the deeds of power done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But at the judgment, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? No, you will be brought down to Hades. Whoever listens to you, listens to me. And whoever rejects you, rejects me. And whoever rejects me, rejects the one who has sent me." The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us." He said to them, "I've watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Well, there's lots that we could talk about this morning out of these scripture texts. We could talk about praise and thanksgiving from our psalm. We could talk about evangelism and spiritual warfare and trusting of God. We could talk about what goes on in the church and how we work together for Galatians. But as I prayed over these texts, it seemed to me that the Lord was weaving in my mind this connection between the psalm and the way we live together as a church and as Christians in our world. In Galatians. And so I'd like to talk this morning about the miracle of gratitude. The miracle of gratitude. I'd like to begin with a story, if I can, to try to illustrate what I'm going to talk about. It's about like Endi and Kati in Hungary. My ministry is working with pastors and Christian leaders, and that's just not because they're more important than anybody else. It's just some folks I can relate to. And so I'll tell you a story, and I'll name this guy Bob. He's a pastor. You don't know him. He's not somebody that is in this area, so I don't have to worry about telling you a bit about his story. He went to seminary late. He decided he wanted to serve God with his whole life, went to seminary. And when he got out of seminary, he was surprised to find out that there were really no churches in his denomination that needed pastors, and that if he wanted to pastor, he needed to start a new church, plant a church. And so, well, he hadn't been really trained to do that, but he said, sure, I'll do that. And so they sent him to a kind of a medium-sized town in one of the western states to plant a church. And they gave him a course on doing that, how you gather people together and you go door to door handing out things. And well, as it turned out, in this, so a church was planted, a small church, rented space. And as it turned out, that Bob was a good preacher and teacher. People liked his in that way. But he was not so good at administration and organization, which was required in a church planning situation, maybe more than in an established church. And the church struggled some because it was never, people didn't quite know what was going on, what was going to happen. Bob became somewhat depressed and really discouraged. And people were critical. They didn't like how the church was going. There were emails sent and so on. The church struggled. Bob became more depressed. And people criticized even more. Now, Bob defended himself. He said, well, I wasn't called to do everything well. I'm a good preacher and teacher, and so I'm fine. You don't have anything to criticize me about. And highlighted his good points. But inwardly, he felt like a failure. He withdrew more and more from members of the congregation and from even his own support community and became isolated. The church got smaller as people got a little discouraged and left and grumbled. Finally, one day, Pastor Bob, in talking with one of the elders of the church, just blew up and got angry and swore and, you know, just couldn't believe what he'd done. And so that elder turned him into the bishop of the diocese in that area and ended up with Bob resigning as pastor. The church was now small and fragile, and within some months it closed. And then I got a call from Bob. And as you can guess, he was depressed, he was discouraged. His marriage was struggling because of the pressure. He didn't know if he was really called to be a pastor after all. And he needed some support. And so we met regularly for prayer and talk and so on. And I share that story because I think it's not so much about the church that I want to talk about, but kind of what happened to Bob as an individual illustrates, I think, it's a good case study for the way the world kind of teaches us about how to deal with conflict. How to deal with conflict. You know, we kind of say, all right, well, so a number of things. First of all, that failures or personal difficulties or things we're not good or mistakes we make, however we'd use that word, should cause us guilt and shame. We should feel sorry for them. We should feel less than adequate. And because we feel that way, the world kind of tells us, we should hide that. We should try to pretend it's not there, build on our strong points and play down the other. And the world also teaches us that the best way to help people get it right is to criticize them. That by criticizing them, we point out their weaknesses, and in this criticism, that they'll work harder to do a better job in the things that, whatever it is, whether in this case it was pastoring in a church, it could be working in an office, it could be, you know, whatever we may be doing. But the criticism will help people somehow get it right and do it better. And finally, the world teaches us that how we feel about ourselves, our self-esteem, should be based on a life of doing it well and doing it right. And we can feel that way either by defending ourselves, as I said, that, well, I really am doing it right, or comparing ourselves to somebody else who's doing it worse. And these are the things that in Galatians the Apostle Paul is dealing with in the dynamics. But it becomes a vicious cycle. Like with Pastor Bob, this cycle of hiding, of criticism, of trying to feel good about yourself because you're doing well and so on, and it just, as it took him down and out, really, it tends to do that to the rest of us. We feel worse about ourselves. We're apt to not try harder actually at all. We pull away from others who maybe feel critical and disappointed with our behavior, and things just get worse. But the scriptures today say that the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is near. And that the Lord has provided a different way for us to deal with our less than perfects. Because none of us are perfect, right? None of us get it right all the time. We all make mistakes. We're all good at some things, not so good at others. So how do we deal with that in a way that isn't destructive for us or for others? And so in these texts, I found four words that I'd like to share and build on. They're honesty, community, humility, and gratitude. I want you to say them out loud with me, and I'll do this a couple times because I want you to remember them. Ready? Say them out loud with me. Honesty, community, humility, and gratitude. So let's just work through the teaching, primarily in Galatians, but also illustrated in both the gospel text and in our psalm. The first one is honesty. What scriptures tell us, and the Lord invites us, is for us to just be upfront about who we are, to be honest. One is honest with ourselves and honest with the people around us in ways that that would be helpful. So, anybody here perfect? Raise their hands. All right, yeah. Somebody almost went up back there. Yeah, none of us are, right? And so the scriptures tell us that that's the way life is. We don't have to be ashamed of less than perfect. We don't have to feel less about ourselves. We don't have to hide ourselves. We can just be who we are. And so in church on Sunday mornings, we start our worship service with confession, right? Now people who aren't used to a liturgical style church or a Lutheran church will say, well, why are you guys go to church and are so negative? You know, you go right off talking about sin, you know. Well, we do it not because we're negative, but because we're honest. And we come before the Lord and one another, and we stand and publicly say, I'm not perfect. And so, Lord, that's why your cross is so important to me. Lord, that's why your forgiveness is what I stand on. And so here I am, ready to celebrate and to sing praises to the Creator of the universe. That's what being honest is about. So the Lord invites us just to be who we are, to be honest with ourselves and with one another. And then Paul in the Galatians text says, well, that's good, but the kingdom of God has also given us this supportive community in which to be honest, in which to be ourselves. Because like Pastor Bob, he needed some help. He didn't need to be just criticized about the things that he wasn't good at, but because those things were hurting the church as well as him in that case, he needed some help. And so in the kingdom of God, God has provided us a supportive community. And, you know, who that is within the Christian community, places where you and I can sit down with somebody and talk about him and say, hey, you know, help me here. And we've got all kinds of imperfections, right? So they can be personal, they can be, you know, work-related, they can be whatever it may be. But somebody that can, we can just say, hey. Or that will say, you know, hey, Pastor Tom, I want to talk to you about how can I help you on, right? So this morning before church, I had to admit to Debbie and to Lynn and to so on that I didn't have a clue about what was happening here or there in the service and so on, right? And they didn't say, well, you're a pastor, don't you know that? They gladly smiled and helped me say, no, we should have people sit down at this point in the service, and this is why those communion things are up there on the altar. And, you know, so now you say, well, that's not a real deal, right, Tom? But that just illustrates the kind of community the Lord has given us. And in this community, people can tell us the truth. They may have said, well, Tom, that's something we told you about before, and how can we help you be better prepared? How can we, or whatever it may be, they can tell the truth to us, and they can forgive us and love on us and support us in a way as we try to live our lives in healthy ways. So honesty taken into community in an environment of support, forgiveness, and love then can allow us to live our lives in humility. That we're not only honest, but we don't judge others and we don't judge ourselves. Scripture tells us there is therefore no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. So humility isn't feeling bad about ourselves or downplaying abilities. Humility is just being able to live as who we are, openly, honestly, and publicly, without comparing ourselves to others. Well, I'm not as good as this person, or boy, am I ever better than that guy. And so this honesty lived out in community can allow us to live lives that are honestly humble and straightforward, and the kind of wonderful freedom that comes out of that. And finally, gratitude. And so, what's the real deal? What really makes you and me a worthwhile person? Is it because we're good at? Is it because we know this, that, and the other thing? Is it because we're liked by people or popular or we make a lot of money or we save a lot of money or we live on a lot, not much, or is it what we do? It's because you and I are the beloveds of the Creator of the universe. God picked you. He chose you. You're special. You and I are loved exactly the way we are. So Jesus says to, you know, the disciples who came back, boy, even the evil spirits got out of town when we told them to. He said, well, that's great, but don't rejoice over that, but that your names are written in heaven. So we can live our lives as we come to the Lord and in gratitude for who the Lord has made for us. And then we begin along as children of God, what else has He given us? And when we begin to think of this blessing in our lives, a lot of things begin to come to mind. I'd like to share with you a passage that illustrates this. It's in Philippians 4. Beginning of the fourth verse. It's familiar. You can see how marked it up. It is in my Bible because it's one of the first passages that I experimented with as a new Christian. So my Bible study group was telling me, well, this is the Word of God, and it explains how it is we live with God and live in the world in this thing called abundant life. And I said, really? So one day in church, I think the pastor was reading this passage, and I'll read it to you, and then I'll talk to you. So it says, rejoice in the Lord always, Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be made known to all men, for the Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Okay, now I'm an engineering student back in those days. I was young and handsome, all right? And so I looked at this passage and said, that's perfect for an engineer. It's an equation. right? It's an equation. So you pray, you ask God for what you need, but you do it with gratitude, with thanksgiving. And if you do that, the peace of God will fill your hearts and mind. Okay? And I thought, well, I can test that one out. I'll just run the experiment. I'll go to the laboratory. And my laboratory was my own life in that time, which was pretty messed up. I'm a junior in engineering and realized I didn't want to be an engineer. My dad was an alcoholic on Skid Row in Long Beach. My mother could hardly support my brother and sister. If I quit school, I'd get drafted and go to Vietnam in a heartbeat. And so so I started praying about those things in this Philippians 4:4. Well, Lord, this is what I'm upset about. This is what I don't understand. This is what I need fixed. I don't understand what's going on. But Lord, I'm so grateful for. And I begin to think of what am I grateful for? And I Lord, thank you for. And I, Lord, thank you for friends. And thank you for my Bible study group. And thank you for the beauty of this creation. And I lived in Arizona. I was going to Arizona State, so it was desert, and I could say beauty of the desert. And you know what happened? One day I'm walking down the sidewalk, and I realized that none of the things that I'd asked for had been answered. But I felt fine about it. I felt the peace that passed understanding. And I kept it up. And before long, that passage became one of the most important biblical passages for me because I experienced the peace of God. The inner kinds of sense that says, Tom, you're okay. Yeah, that problem's still there. This issue's still present. But in this mode of gratitude, you're okay. And it's not just thinking on the bright side, or glass half full instead of half empty, or positive thinking versus negative thinking. That's not what he's talking about. He says, when we're honestly ourselves, which this prayer invited me to do, when we're in community of people who will support us and love us and encourage us, when we can just live our lives in humility for who we are, and live in gratitude for what God's done for us and is doing for us. Focusing on that, that's when God's peace comes. That's when we can say, okay, I'm all right. I don't like this. This isn't good. I'm praying for it to change here, here, and here. I've noticed with people my age, ancient of days, that when we get together and you say, how are you? We often have an organ recital. Right? An organ, so get it, organ recital. What's wrong with this organ or that organ? Well, my knee, my shin, my whatever. You know, we begin falling apart. So we tell people about that. And but I think it's, but what if I said, I'm wonderful because I have the most amazing wife on the planet, Charlotte. I got 3 kids that are just awesome. Are they perfect? No, of course not. And on I could go. You've given me appreciation for the beauty of your creation. You've given me Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church to worship in and the people to get to know who love you and serve you so beautifully, and on I could go. Then you might say, well, Tom, tell me about your knee. And I could, my knee's fine, by the way, but I'd, whatever. And see, so when we live this life, we dare to live it. So say the 4 words with me again. Honesty, community, humility, and gratitude. The kingdom of God has come near to us. It's here. We live in it. And God has given us this wonderful way to live. Honesty, community, humility, and gratitude. Amen. Let's stand and sing together.